Welcome to Good Morning Paranormal. Good Morning Paranormal is brought to you by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. With host Mike Baker from Crossroads Paranormal Radio and different radio host personalities from the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network lineup, we're bringing you the lighter side of the paranormal. Now that you've found us, kick back, relax, and enjoy for the next 2 hours. Good Morning Paranormal.
All right, good morning and happy Monday to everyone. This is Good Morning Paranormal, and I am joined today with Danielle Garrison. Danny, how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's nice and bright, like you said earlier, bright and sunny out. We had a great weekend. The weather was just unbelievable for August in Indiana.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really nice. Here it rained a little bit yesterday, but as far as Saturday and Friday night, it was awesome.
I know. We were out Saturday night, had sweatshirts on, jeans. It was beautiful. Love that.
That's my favorite kind of weather.
I know. In the middle of August, that's the whole kicker. I was like, it almost kind of scares me. It's like, what are we in for?
Well, everything for Halloween's already out in the stores.
Yeah.
Which is crazy in itself.
But, I mean, are we going to get beat up this winter?
Man, you know, what happened to all the global warming crap?
I know. And I'm glad. I'm hoping it's unglobal warming or something. I don't know. I'm happy with the 70s and low 80s for our dog days of summer.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever really believed in global warming, per se. I think that we don't know enough about climate and the past that's happened and things like that, that for us to be so arrogant to make a prediction like that sometimes just drives me crazy. Everything is cyclical in nature anyway.
Yeah.
So there's going to be hot, there's going to be cold. Who knows?
But, you know, I've seen a huge change over the years. You know, when I was growing up and kid, we pretty much had a full four seasons of weather. You know, mm-hmm. It was hot in the summer. You had your two nice, your fall and your spring were nice. You know, rainy in the spring, a little bit rainy in the fall, but, you know, cool, kind of like it is right now. Mm-hmm. And then we had a lot of snow and cold in the wintertime.
Yeah.
But as the years have progressed, and especially since I moved back to Indiana, I've seen that it's extremely hot in the summertime, and it doesn't really start getting cold until, you know, late November, early December, and we don't get near as much snow.
Yeah, I know that my dad and my mom used to say that that it used to snow a whole heck of a lot more.
Oh, it did. It did. We had a lot. I mean, when I was a kid, and we would have a lot. I mean, I was telling Chris the other day, I grew up in a two-story house, and we always had these huge, all the way from the top of the roof to the ground, huge icicles from all the snow we'd get, and it'd melt and, you know, run down the roof and all that kind of stuff. And you just don't see that anymore because we don't get near as much snow. And then once we get it, it's gone.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, you know, tunneling through snow or sledding or whatever. But I know that I think it was, I want to say 1975 or 1976 up here in Portage, they got dumped on where, I mean, the tops of the semi-trucks were covered. So, I mean, it was some pretty heavy snow.
I was out of the country. I left in 75, and my mom, I know, I think it was 77 or 78 when you guys had this horrible blizzard here.
Maybe it was later on than that. And,
she sent
but
me,
I know there were pictures that my mom had in Portage, and literally they were standing on the roofs of their houses taking pictures of you couldn't see the semi trucks underneath of the snow.
Right, right. My mom sent me some of those pictures as well. It's like, you know, talking about the blizzard. And I think they had it bad for two or three consecutive years there or something. I mean, the one year, I think, I don't know if it was 77 or 78. But then there was a couple other bad years that were bad, but not like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't necessarily remember it, but, I mean, we have had some pretty good weather. I mean, just because we don't get dumped on with the snow, per se, doesn't mean that it still isn't getting cold.
I gotta say, which, don't break my heart, because, trust me, every year that driveway gets a little longer and a little longer.
Yeah.
Of course, now it's only 16.
Yeah, I mean, even last winter, we still got down to a couple of, you know, 20 below, which was nuts, you know, with the wind chill and all.
Right.
Or even more than that, which is, it's just too freaking cold.
I can remember 64 below when I was a kid.
Oh, my God. And that's insane.
The people in the neighborhood were going from house to house and trying to unthaw pipes. They had this, some kind of electronic shock thing, and they would go down underneath the, in the basements and shock the pipes and try to break the ice free and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that my dad used to say that they had to shovel the roofs and things like that to keep them caving in
caving
and stuff.
In, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's a lot better now. I like it cool. I don't mind cold. I don't like the snow. They can stay away as far as I'm concerned.
I like it cool, but not cold. I can handle 70 degree weather. 60 degree weather is okay. Getting below 50, I don't like at all.
I would rather wear a parka than have to try to pull my skin off.
Yeah, that's where Ron's at. I personally like it a little bit warmer. So,
you know, when I was younger, I the hotter the better. I was happy with it.
But yeah.
Now, no. If it gets above 60, I'm hating it.
Yeah.
I like it cool. I'm trying to preserve myself.
Well, you're not going to Florida, that's for sure.
No, hell no. Nope. I may go north. I don't know.
Yeah. So what's new with you? Anything?
No, like I was telling you earlier, we met up with a couple groups down in Indy Saturday night, and we just met up and went out and ate. You know, we had a good time. Did a little networking, I guess, if you will. Just
no ghost hunting?
No, we just met up and just sat around and shot the breeze. So it was a good time.
That's nice.
So see, it shows that the groups can get together and not do anything paranormal.
That's awesome.
Well, it was rather paranormal, but wasn't any hunting involved.
No,
but we had a good time, and you know, they're a lot of fun. And unfortunately, the one group's quite a ways away, so we've kind of all decided that we'll meet in the middle, which is in Indianapolis, where one of the groups is. So,
yeah,
kind of works out well.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it nice.
Maybe we'll start pulling. I talked to Bob Newkirk, and told him I was down his way, and he said, "Why didn't you give us a call?" I said, "Well, maybe next time we'll just keep having it grow, and we'll have a little massive meetup in Indianapolis."
That's too funny.
All sit around and have supper and just shoot the breeze. Yeah. Be a lot
That's
of fun.
Too funny. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because a lot of these people get into this stuff just to find like-minded people anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a lot of it, you know, and yeah, that's it. Can't think of anything better to say about that. That's true, I think. And it's great working out, because the three couples we were with, you know, we've each got a kid now. They're similar in age, so not only do we get to sit around and talk with them, the kids got someone to talk to and play with.
Yeah.
Well, I better not say play with, but
I was going to say, yeah, but I still think they're kind of sweet on each other.
Oh, yeah. And she's adorable anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So I can see him. She's a cutie.
That's good.
And so good smart. Kids. Yeah, they are.
At the meet and greet, they worked their tails off.
Yep, they did a great job. Definitely did. So you got some info.
Yeah, the second issue of The White Crow came out from M. Ripa.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. There was a lot of pages this time. I mean, it was almost double the last issue.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, it pretty much was almost double the last issue.
Hmm.
There were a bunch of teams kind of spotlighted. One of our teams, which was Crossroads, was highlighted in The White Crow.
Cool.
And I actually sent in an article that I did a while ago, and I sent it in before they even had the first issue out. And they actually published it this time, so that was nice.
That's cool.
To see that work, too. There's just so many. There was even a few groups that I didn't even know that was highlighted and things like that, so it was nice. And they also, I know MRIPA does a lot of work with new groups, so they were highlighting some of their newer groups, too.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah. Now, it was a good issue.
Yeah, now I know it's an online only. And how is it going? Do you have any idea?
I'm not sure. I think that it's growing in popularity. I know that this is only the second issue, so I mean, I would say that since it pretty much almost doubled with people sending in information, I would say that it's definitely growing.
I wonder if they'll ever take that to a hard copy.
I think that they were thinking about doing that at some point. I don't really know what their plans are with it completely, or if they were going to start charging at some point, but that's
a
lot of work.
Oh, it is.
Anybody who's ever done anything like that would know that that's a lot of work that goes into putting that stuff on. So, I mean, to keep it up continuously and to work on it continuously and actually keep getting issues out, that it takes a lot.
Oh, I know. I can only imagine. I mean, I know with what I do, it's just like nonstop. So I can imagine a magazine or something like that, how much time. And I think they all work on top of that.
Yes, they
do.
So
that's what's tough, is trying to get everything, you know, finding the time to do it all.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing with a magazine instead of the radio show is that, you know, you have X amount of days that you can pretty much put into it, and X amount of hours and stuff, and get that all out and share it between different people.
Right.
The hard thing about the radio show is that you've got to contact all the, you know, the people that you're going to be speaking with, and you've got to keep on top of where everybody's at and when, and making sure that, you know, they know where to be and when and stuff like that. That's a lot of work, too.
It's a lot of work. It is. I keep thinking, well, there needs to be some more hours, because I really do need some sleep, and
I know
there's not a lot of time for that.
No.
But
no, yeah, radio shows are pretty hectic. Anything that you really throw yourself into and really love to do, is it can be time consuming.
And I was gonna say, and I'm not complaining by no means, it's I like
right.
it, and I you know, it's what I want to do, so but I could use a few more hours. Well, and of course work kind of throws a ringer in things too, because now we're working 9 and 10 hours a day. And getting ready to move to 6 days a week. So I know I'm going to get further behind.
You know what? But I got to be honest with you. I think that's the best thing in the entire world, knowing the industry that you're in.
Oh, yeah.
That tells me that something's cooking in the economy.
Yeah. And again, you know, I'm not complaining.
Happy.
I'm definitely not complaining about that, because it couldn't come at a better time.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get Dennis situated and all the stuff we still have to do with him. So, it couldn't come at a better time to work that. Excuse me. But
so, yeah, I was really excited to hear that you're on all that overtime.
Yeah. Well, and they're I think they're trying to use their brain, maybe for the first time in the 20 years that I've been there. They're not jumping in full-fledged yet, because they're waiting it out to make sure that the we're a little different than all the other automotive manufacturers. We were the only ones last year that showed an increase, a yearly increase. It was like 0.0 something, but it was an increase.
Did they say why you guys above everyone else?
Well, we are a low volume manufacturer. You know, we're not like anywhere near like a Toyota or a Chevrolet or Ford or any of those. We're low volume, and we kind of have dedicated customers. We cater to the more middle class, upper middle class type people, which are still doing okay.
They still have an expendable
income, and they're a dedicated group. And so I think that's what did it. Now we just launched a brand new model, and it's selling like hotcakes. So, but they're still trying to make sure that it's not the cash for clunkers that spiked this so high.
Right.
Which
I know that one thing I'm worried, because I just heard three more of Ron's friends just got laid off last week.
I knew a few. I talked to a couple last week as well that got laid off. So I don't think the economy's out of the woods, but there are signs in spots that are that it is coming around.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because I don't care what anybody says. That was not a recession. It's full-blown depression. I mean...
yeah. If not,
I just heard something on the freaking news this morning saying that Social Security benefits are going down.
I seen that. You know, I was like, God, I keep telling myself. Originally, I was only planning on going another 7 years.
Uh-huh. Well,
I've already bumped that up to 10. And I don't want to go any further.
So they need to get their act together. It doesn't make any sense. They're saying something with the inflation and things like that. Now, to me... that tells me that I see inflation everywhere. However, they're doing the same exact thing that they're doing that they did before, and they should have learned the lessons from before.
You know, and maybe it's because I'm getting closer to that age. You know, the government pumps money here, money there, money everywhere. Why can't they pump some into there? These people that are drawing, you know, retirement benefits and Social Security and stuff like that, have dedicated their whole life to working.
Right.
You know, most of them 50 years plus.
Right.
So why are we penalizing them?
It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
You know, and like I said, it could be because I'm getting...
It's the wrong spot.
Yeah. You know, I've worked for the last 40 years myself. Well, nearly 40 years. And, yeah, you just keep seeing that going down. It said 2010 and 2011 benefits will be lower.
Yeah.
So
lower.
Yeah. And it's already low.
And I was listening to the feature on the news this morning, and I'm sitting there going, okay, so why are they saying lower?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, is it because Social Security is getting ready to run out? Is it, you know, what are they saying that the cause is that it's going to be lower?
Yeah,
I don't know. To me, the underlying issue would be because they're trying to preserve the benefit in the first place. However, it just seems to me like that's not the answer to do, especially within times that the way they are right now. It's just not right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, somebody says something about Medicare.
Exactly.
You know, I know I talked to my mom last weekend, and she was going on about, you know, they raised it or lowered the benefits or whatever. You know, I need to start paying a little more attention to it, but I still don't. I still just kind of let it slide by, and I'm sure I'm going to wake up one day and it's like, damn, I wish I had to pay a little more attention.
Yeah. You know, but I'm still thinking, you know, along the lines of, you know, with the Medicare, and every time I turn around, you see this stupid email coming in, and it's coming from my family or it's coming from my friends, and it's saying, you know, I support that they need to make the rule that if you're going to be on some kind of aid or assistance, that you need to be able to pass a drug screen. You know, okay, so it's in everybody's mailbox across America. I know I've had it probably 17 times in my mailbox, but nobody's ever raised it in politics.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's the whole problem with Social Security. There are so many on it that aren't of Social Security age.
Yeah.
That's what's killing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not
every
saying...
time I turn around, I hear about somebody, you know, who is... quote unquote disabled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that they've gone through a lawyer to become quote unquote disabled.
Right. And I do know that some are.
Some.
Right. There are some. And I'm not saying that there aren't. But I'm saying there's a lot of them that aren't.
There is an unbelievable number that are not.
Right.
So. And that is what is killing it. They have found ways to, or loopholes in the system.
Loopholes, that's what I was going to say, loopholes.
That's right. There's loopholes in the system that allow it to happen.
Hmm. Loopholes everywhere.
And there is. And while there's loopholes, there's, you know, lots and lots of ideas to try to close those loopholes. I know that, you know, Ron is a firm believer that we should just bring back all our military and stand them on the border and not let anybody in. There's loopholes everywhere, like I said. There's no fix to anything.
Well, Ron, you failed me because you should have done that like 12 years ago.
Yeah, that's what the point is.
I'm talking about my two.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer that there's already loopholes that have gone through. There's already too many people in the country. There's no point in crying over the point is that there's no point in crying over spilled milk. It's already done.
Yeah.
You fix the situation now.
Exactly. Exactly.
No way to go back and fix it.
Make it better for the future.
Exactly. Start cleaning up the mess. Okay, we found a problem here. It's all about change management. If this happens, you need to fix this. If this happens, you need to fix that. Okay, well, we have found a huge loophole. There's a big, huge problem. Now what are we going to do to fix it?
Get a shovel, make it bigger. That's been the process for quite a few years now, it seems like.
Well, Ron says that, you know, he just wants to put people on the borders and shoot on sight. He's kind of lethal.
I know. He's a little bit of a maniac.
A little bit?
That could be fun, though. A little target practice, yes. You know, it is getting hunting season, so a little target practice wouldn't hurt, probably.
There you go.
Oh,
and it's a moving target. There you go.
There you go. That's right. You know,
that's so terrible.
Oh my! And you know, he was talking about, I guess, old age or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the kids in school now, and actually, it wasn't a kid. It's Chris doing her school work.
Yeah.
And she's doing what was the title of it? It was history, but they got it broken down in different segments nowadays. And you know you're old when she's studying a history book and it was about things that happened after you were already in school taking history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That's scary. History? Oh, my God.
I can't even imagine that. You know, I was sitting there, you know, through big moments of world history and things like that. I was thinking back on when I was a kid, you know, when the Challenger exploded and things.
Yep.
Or when the Berlin Wall came down. Yep. You know, big moments in history and things like that.
I was fortunate to see the Berlin
Wall. Those are all in the history books now.
Yeah, yeah. And see, I was there while the wall was up. I got to go to it. That was a great trip I went on there. Went through all the checkpoints, Checkpoint Charlie, A, B, and C. And it was funny on the west side, the free side, you know, just like you see in like the New York cities and stuff, graffiti all over the wall.
Oh yeah.
You get on the other side, it was perfectly clean.
Wasn't
was not a thing on it. Well, cause no one from the east could get that close.
Yeah.
Because they had
that's true.
So guarded. And then, so you go through these checkpoints and you get to one, you have to go in and you have to check in. And they write all the stuff down, your license plate number and, I don't know, different things. And they tell you, okay, you must be from this checkpoint to this checkpoint by this time. If you're not, they come looking for you. You're not allowed to pull off. You're not allowed to do anything unless you break down.
Wow.
Yeah, so you had a certain time to get through these, to go through all these checkpoints. And we were going from from the west side over to the west part of the free part of Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go through all the checkpoints and stuff. So it was very interesting to get to see all that before it came down.
Absolutely. I can't even imagine that experience.
It was great. And that was that, you know, we went shopping. They took us to we actually got to go into the East Berlin and go to a shopping plaza. And I think I spent $35 and I had to make three trips to the bus. Stuff was so dirt cheap.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
But there was very little to choose from. You know, we were buying souvenirs and things just to say that we got this in East Berlin and all that kind of stuff. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, guys were picking up binoculars, though, for like $10.
Wow.
Now, granted, this was quite a few years ago, but they were a good set of binoculars.
Wow.
And different things like that. So, it was a great experience.
Hmm.
We went into we stopped at a little, their version of a hamburger stand. And there was four of us. And I think we ordered four hamburgers and four drinks. And I give the guy a 50 mark bill and he couldn't cash it. That was more money than he had.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do?
I think if I remember now, he went like to another vendor or whatever there and was trying to get change and stuff. I don't know. Somehow.
Wow.
Like that. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Wow. No, yeah. I mean, and that just comes back to our economy. Like I said, I don't know anybody who can say that we're not, you know, with inflation the way it's going up and things like that, we're reliving history and
yep.
not in a good way.
Yep. Yep. Well, they say history repeats itself and
yeah.
Looks like it's
but you're supposed to learn from mistakes.
Well, you know, I don't know. Huh. Somebody didn't write it right in the books, I guess.
Yeah.
They didn't learn it.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, way too much. That's for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody said, oh, Steve says, I like how Ron thinks.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't if you had to live with it, but yeah, he's pretty much, he's full on jarhead, so yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Pretty funny.
Full on all the time. There's no off button there either.
So when's he going to start lining Zach up for like inspection and things?
Man, I'll tell you what.
He got to be getting close to that age.
He doesn't want Zach to go into the military.
Really?
And I look at him and I say, okay. Do you really think that there is any hope that this child, with all of my family having been in the military uh-huh. and all of his family been in the military in some branch or another, every single male on both sides, is there any possibility of hope that he's not going to want to go?
Hard to say.
I don't think so. I don't think that there's any stretch of the imagination that this man has that he wants to keep him out of the military. I don't think there's any hope that he's going to have any say-so over it.
Yeah.
I mean, the boy is going to turn 18, and he's going to join the military.
You know, and myself, I don't see that as a bad thing.
I don't.
I know from a mom's perspective, I'm sure it's a lot different, but...
It's not. I mean, my perspective, though, is that he's our only.
Sure.
So that's where I get nervous.
My mom tried that as well, because I wasn't the only, but I am... she tried to throw the last surviving male ticket
yeah.
out there, you know, because I went in right after Vietnam and
yeah.
you didn't know what was going to happen and everything. And yeah, so I survived that, but I'm still the last surviving male, so it don't make no difference. The name's going to die anyway.
Yeah. I mean, what I look at is that I'm terrified at the thought of what Ron would have been like had he not been in the military.
Yeah.
So, my thoughts are, I am a firm believer that military builds many things in a man's life.
Oh, I think so, too. I would be all for, if we were like many of the European countries, and it was a requirement when you turned 18 years of age that you did the 18 months in the military.
And for nothing else other than building the knowledge of how to keep organized and... Yep. learn a trade and learn the teamwork involved in having to listen and respond. And
right.
it's very important to learn how to take orders.
Exactly. And then, you know, the reward for doing that, then you have the GI Bill.
Exactly.
Now you can use that for college. And you know, I bought my house with a GI Bill.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not for nothing. You know, you do get something out of it, plus then you get the benefits as well.
Correct. So I can't say that who knows what's going to happen down the road when the time comes for him to join, you know, what war we're going to be in or what stupid country we're going to be in trying to defend people
oh, yeah,
who don't want
yeah.
us there in the first place.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason that the, you know, politicians think that we're going to be somewhere. I can't say that I agree with that wholeheartedly, but... I do believe in our country, and I do believe in, I'm kind of old-fashioned in the sense that I do believe that everybody should put something in for their country.
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, that was one of the things that is funny. Dennis talked about shortly after he got here, we'd be driving, maybe going to Walmart or going somewhere in town, and he says, they sure are patriotic here, aren't they? He was talking about because all the people that had flags out and that kind of stuff, you know. He said, you don't see that as much in Canada. I said,
No.
I said, that's one thing that you will find here that, and if you ever say anything wrong about that, someone will beat you down.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't, I probably will.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Ron's got a tattoo on his forearm that says American and damn proud of it, with the states and the American flag colored on the states. So.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, right below the bulldog of the Marine bulldog. So, oh, yeah. I mean, he's a jarhead, that's for sure.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, not at all.
No.
All right, well, let's take our first break, and when we come back, we'll see what we can babble about next, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal right here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network and simulcasted at freetimeradio.com, and we will be right back.
A new way to bring the paranormal community together.
Sharing everyone's ideas and sharing ideas with everyone.
Creating a newsletter with submissions
from all around the world.
Members of all paranormal fields.
Just like you and me.
Whether you're into ghosts and hauntings
or an observer of UFO phenomenon,
The White Crow is for you.
The first paranormal newsletter
for everyone.
Written by everyone.
If you have something to share,
or just want to see what's going on,
come join us in this combined effort.
The White Crow.
The paranormal newsletter.
For everyone.
Written by everyone.
Visit us on MySpace at www.myspace.com/The White Crow for everyone.
If you're interested in being part of the mailing list, or just to download the newsletter for free, visit us online at www.thewhitecrow.org.
The White Crow, the first paranormal newsletter for everyone, created by everyone.
Join the crew here on NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join Residual Hauntings Live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings Live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, psst, kid. Come here. You're looking for a paranormal fix, aren't you? Well, look, check it out. What you need to do, go on over to www.asprn.com. Tell them Mikey sent you. Wink twice, knock twice. When you click on it, hit the chat live. Go into the chat room. Yeah, you'll find your fix there.
All right, we are back. And I hope everybody is having the great weather like we are here in central Indiana. Nice and sunny. About, my thing says 61 degrees right now. And only going to get up to about a low 80s today. Danny, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I thought maybe you fell asleep on me.
I thought about it.
I'd like to.
Yeah.
Oh. So what else we got cooking? Anything? I know it's still kind of
just getting ready for a while back ago. Some stuff with my that I got contacted by. What is it? Pagan Pride from Chicago. And a lot of people don't know, but I was also raised pagan, so one of the things that I do is once in a while I get involved with some pagan groups and I go out and talk to a couple people. Well, they asked me if I would do a workshop, and I said, well, I could do probably ghost hunting 101, teach everybody how to ghost hunt.
There you go. And where's that at?
So it's going to be up in Chicago, up in let me get the information up here, but it's basically, it's just going to be a 45-minute workshop on how to learn how to ghost hunt for people who have never done it before.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
This is, yeah, it's just directed towards people who have an interest in it, maybe, but have never done it. Or I was trying to, when I put together the information, I was also putting it together for skeptics, you know, saying that it's also a lot like forensic science.
Uh-huh.
So that if a lot of people understand what CSI is, a lot of people don't understand a lot of the vocabulary
right
for ghost hunting. So it's a lot easier when you only have 45 minutes to
yep.
talk to people
yeah.
to use the CSI aspect.
Now, I'm just seeing something here. I don't know if you noticed this or not. Crystal's telling me that Jason Sullivan was on an investigation and someone stole all of his equipment that he's collected or bought over the last 10 years.
When did that happen?
He was out on either on an investigation or a convention. I don't know. So that's pretty crappy. And I know he had a lot of stuff, you know, so I don't know if that's all of his camera equipment or what, you know, he has the big high dollar cameras and things like that. So no, I did not see that, Crystal. Thanks for passing that on. And we can tell everyone how crappy that is. And,
Yeah. I mean, I heard, maybe 5 years ago of something like that happening to a group where, they had taken everything out, and they were, I want to say that it happened up in Chicago, that they were up for a convention or something like that, and they were down to the last couple of cases of equipment, and when they came back outside to grab the last of it, somebody was running down the street, or down the sidewalk with them. With the cases, huh. And they never did catch up to the guy, and they lost a bunch of equipment. It was really crappy.
Wow.
I know that they had a bunch of groups send some equipment their way, as far as, you know, cell sensors
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, that's really horrible.
She said his status saying ghost hunting 101 is maybe no longer. So that tells me that he did lose his video equipment. Which that is really messed up. I wish if he wasn't working, I'd call him up and bring him on here. He could talk about it.
And my God.
Yeah, that's bad. I hadn't heard that. I just showed you how crappy some people are.
I mean, and when you do this hobby, you put in a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money for equipment, for cameras, for... I know that freaking Phil... up here Northwest Indiana has got an insane amount of money in his equipment.
Yep. And he needs
if something like that were to happen. You know, and this is one of the things that I brought up on when I did South Indy Paranormal Radio Show.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, it might be something that people, instead of putting up booths at these meet and greets, come without a booth.
Yeah.
Or come without your equipment.
Yeah.
You know, because I said... you're going to have somebody at least at the booth so your equipment doesn't walk away.
And
it kills me that, you know, that's something that you really have to watch.
And, you know, now that I think about it, you know, you brought up Phil. And, you know, when we were up at the jail.
Yeah.
Porter County Jail, is that what it was? You think about it, you know, he brought most of his stuff inside.
Right.
But let's just say he brought a little bit in and we were doing things. You know,
exactly.
It wouldn't have took much for someone to come along and hook up to his trailer and take off with it.
Absolutely.
So he's going to have to be very careful with that. I never even gave that a thought.
Yeah, Crystal just posted warning, yeah. quote unquote, like most people give a crap.
Uh-huh.
Ghost hunting 101, maybe no more. Thanks to those who enjoyed it, but we were robbed, so we're done.
Yeah, that's
his status.
Yeah, that's messed up. We hate it, Jason. Hopefully you can find him and beat him down. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, he's up there in you guys' neck of the woods, a little closer to Chicago than you are.
Yeah.
And it is a little rougher.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, it may take 6 locks. I don't know.
You know, and that's one of the things that I was going to ask you guys. Do you guys have, like, on your equipment and stuff like that, do you guys have, like, either CP engraved on it or your names engraved on it or anything like that?
A lot of it does, but we've kind of got just kind of slacked off and haven't done
yeah.
a lot of. But we don't have we got, you know, our cameras, of course, but usually those are with us. But the rest of the stuff, it's not high dollar. You know, we don't have the DVR systems. We've got the Puck and the Ovilus, you know, which if something would happen, it's not like we're out $1 million.
Well, no, but to replace those,
right,
that is some right. serious cash.
But most of the stuff that we have, we pretty much carry with us. You know, we got the K2s and the cell sensors and the EMF readers and the digital audio and the cameras and the Ovilus and the Puck. And most of that stuff, you know, we generally wear a vest. It's got 150 pockets in it, and that stuff's
yep.
stuck all in there. So other than transporting it from the house to where we're going, usually the 99% of it's loaded up with us, and it's with us all the time.
Right.
So we're not in too bad a shape on that department. But yeah, we do have the CP on a lot of it, but not everything.
Wow. But, that just breaks my heart, because I know that Jason works pretty hard to work with everybody.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes, yeah. knowing Jason, I know that sometimes that's kind of difficult for him, because I think he has kind of he's not always the extrovert that everybody thinks that he is. And I know that that probably hurt in lots of ways mm-hmm. with him dealing with lots of other people. So
right, right.
It's going to be a lot harder for him.
Yeah, that's too bad. And, you know, I know he likes to go around, and 99% of the time he does it for nothing. He goes around a lot of conferences or meetings or whatever and speaks for free.
Yeah.
So I hope he continues to do that. And hopefully while doing it now, he will add a little scenario about idiots that steal stuff.
Yeah.
You know? That's too bad. What's she write here? Awesome comment. Ghost hunting 101, when I find you, I promise I will hurt you a lot. I know you might be reading this, laugh something. I will find you. So, yeah.
I'm positive that if he ever gets his hand on the guy that did it.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not
that person's going to hurt a lot.
He's not a little guy. Yeah.
No, I would not mess with him.
Well, Jason, we hate to hear it, and we hope you can get it recovered. And if you need anything, let us know. I don't have anything, but I'll give it to you anyway.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, Crystal said he drove 4 hours to her fundraiser to speak for free.
Oh, so, God.
Yep.
Wow, yeah, he's done a lot.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, the Ghost Hunting 101 was a great tool for a lot of groups that were just getting started. So, and that was all free training.
Yeah, I enjoyed
them. You really have to look at how much he's really put out there and how much work goes into all of that.
And you know, it's funny. We would watch him, and he would mention our events. And I think, man, we never even told him that. But he'd always grab our stuff and mm-hmm. to talk about it, you know, just because he did. And, I guess we never really thanked him enough. We should thank him for doing that. We never really did. Because mm-hmm. a couple times we'd be shocked. Like, what'd he say? Scroll back a little bit. It's like, oh, wow. Thanks, dude. Too bad.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. So. Oh, wow. It is dead.
That is a bummer. I'm just heartbroken over that. I just can't believe how stupid. You know, especially after we have the meet and greet and everybody's just done, you know, happy and everybody's just gotten done with, you know, I don't know, the euphoria of actually getting along for a day.
Yeah.
And to me, that is worth all of the fighting all year long.
Yeah.
To just have that one day where everybody can come in and get along. And then to hear something like that, which I'm hoping the slime has nothing to do with it. Yeah.
That would be my guess. And actually, like you said, hopefully he's got his name on some stuff. And I'll bet you within a matter of days, if he went to a pawn shop somewhere, he would start seeing his stuff, and maybe he can track it down that way.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure this was someone from the outside, seen a car or something sitting there with a lot of stuff in it.
I want. Can you claim that on homeowners insurance?
I don't know. You probably have to have it listed, maybe.
Yeah.
I really don't know. But I would think that, because he did have a lot of money invested in that, that I would think that possibly he would have, have some kind of insurance on it. I don't know. You know, that's probably something a lot of people take for granted.
Absolutely.
You know, again, like Phil, or I know there's a lot of groups, like you talk about the meet and greet. A lot of groups had enormous amount of equipment. Maps. Look at all the stuff maps
have. Yeah. Well, look at freaking MRIPA.
MRIPA, you know. So, yeah, if you guys are hearing this or listen back to it, and you don't have your equipment registered or whatever it is with your homeowner's insurance or what have you.
Whatever you got to do to get some kind of little policy over it, yeah.
Might be something worth looking into.
Well, yeah, just think about how much money you do. See, I always look at replacement cost.
Yeah.
It's not how much it's depreciated. It's replacement cost.
Right.
And that's what kills me is, thinking about trying to replace some of that stuff that we have is just, it's irreplaceable.
Yep, absolutely. It is. Or at least hard to come by.
Yeah. I mean, and some of these people that have, like the original Ovilus or the original Frank's box or something like that, that has some kind of, meaning as far as, these are.
Well, they'll be artifacts before long,
Well, that's what, give it 25 years in the field and these things will have, have some kind of a value just as far as research.
Right. They may not be worth a crap, but they're an artifact.
Exactly. So, in 25 years, look at how far we've come from then, and then in another 25 years, we'll be able to look and see what kind of gadgets are out there and things like that and see how far we've come from that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I think it's that's going to be hard to replace.
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. And, and while we're on that replacement topic, we had... back when we first started Good Morning Paranormal, we did get on that topic about all the groups and stuff that have so much evidence and video and audio and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you back it up. Chris and I learned the hard way. Her computer crashed twice. We've lost all the stuff. She always kept everything. And
did she lose Charlie Brooks' EVP?
You know what? I just happened to have... She had sent me to play some EVPs. And I do.
Yeah.
I have them on my computer.
Thank God.
And I do have them on an external hard drive now. But most of everything else was lost. All the forms and stuff we had, a lot of that was lost. And because she didn't have them backed up to an external hard drive, her computer crashed, and it's toast.
Yeah.
So, keep that in mind, groups out there that have a lot of this stuff. Make sure you put it not only on your computer, but back it up to an external hard drive or something safe. And, and you could have a malfunction with an external hard drive as well, but maybe put it on a CD, maybe a couple different places so that you can recover it.
Some of my audio is gone from that very reason.
Yep. Yeah, it happens. The stuff is electronics, and it has lots and lots of parts that go wrong.
Yeah, and, my computer didn't even freak out. It was the folder that the stuff was in went corrupted.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, yeah, there's a lot of things like that that people just don't think about at the time,
Yeah.
Their equipment, registering it and securing it and their evidence about backing it up or whatever. So there's just a lot of things that go unthought about. That maybe they should be talked about from time to time, just to refresh everyone's minds. Hey, I should do this and get this taken care of because who knows down the road what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
We had you was talking about homeowners insurance. A few years back, we had our house got struck by lightning.
Wow.
And I will say, I'll put a plug in for Allstate Insurance. We lost two computers, our TV. Oh, I can't remember at the time what else. I called them up and said, hey, and they knew we had a storm. We got struck by lightning and all this stuff went out. They never came out and verified anything. They said, go get the cost of the stuff, send it to me. They cut me a check and sent it to me.
Wow.
Yep. They never checked a thing. And of course, now it wasn't, thousands of dollars.
Right.
And then I did come across a few items that we found later down the road, which I never even brought up, like one of our telephone outlets in the house doesn't work any longer, and there was a few other things, but yeah, so I mean, stuff like that can happen as well.
Right.
People don't think about it. And so you got to think about it, back it up, secure it.
Insure it.
Yeah. Whatever you got to do to preserve what you have.
Yeah, because it's all about the replacement cost. Like I said, that's I can see why, number one, probably because his heart is broken in humanity. And two, having to try to replace all that stuff is next to impossible. So, yeah, I can understand why he's like, forget this noise.
Right. Well, and if by chance he did not have it insured, you know, that would take a long time to replace a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because like I said, he had high dollar stuff.
Right.
That's too bad. That's the way of the world, though. You know, especially in these, we talked earlier, these trying times, that's the kind of crap that goes on.
Yeah, it's anytime I hear anything about bank robberies and things like that going up and small towns and stuff, you know, that tells me that, you know, people are hurting.
Yeah.
People are hurting big.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
Taking desperate measures.
That's right.
Stupid desperate measures, but. You know, I can imagine them sitting at home. It's like, I got to do something. I need to do something, you know. And
yeah.
Then they do something stupid. And more times than not, they get caught and they're in worse shape than they were before they did the stupid act.
Which is true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely evident that people are hurting out there, the economy. But like I said, that's why I was so glad to hear that you're going on overtime.
Yeah, we need it bad. We still got to finish the kid up. He's breaking me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good deal. All right, well, I say it's time for another break. And that'll take us to the top of the hour. And we'll see what else we can babble. I mean, you know what? I think we're going to have Crystal come on. She did a fly-by-the-night trip this weekend. And plus, she has another trip coming up this week, so... We'll get her to call in here, and we'll talk about that a little bit. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. And with that, you are listening to Good Morning Paranormal on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, as well as freetimeradio.com. And we will be right back.
Join us October 3rd, 2009 for the first annual Dining with Ghosts at the historic Elwood Opera House in Elwood, Indiana. Enjoy a fantastic buffet dinner at a historically haunted opera house with their resident ghosts. Dining with Ghosts will be an exciting event for everyone not involved in a group. However, experienced investigators will also enjoy the evening. We'll have two speakers, including Keith, who is a grandson of the original building owner. He'll give us the history of the amazing building. Chris Baker, a co-founder of Crossroads Paranormal, will be discussing paranormal investigating. The investigation will follow the speakers as we break down into groups with a guide, take an investigative tour of some of the most active areas. You're welcome to bring your own cameras, recorders, and EMF meters if you have them. A live webcast hosted by Crossroads Paranormal and the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network will also be part of this event. There will be vendors to visit and talk with while you're not involved in the investigations. You'll have a chance to gather after your investigation and talk about your experiences. You can even be interviewed during the webcast. There's a chance that you might be heard live around the world. Your experiences will be unforgettable, and you'll have a lot of fun if you decide that you would like to join us in Dining with Ghosts.
Rough economy getting to you? Are you not reaching as many people as you would like to?
Is your company just not achieving?
Well, the problem could be with your marketing. How your company markets themselves determines a lot.
Yes, it does. Hi, I'm Jeffrey Albima II, CEO and founder of Leading Tone Entertainment. LTE is a company that can help you in many ways. We create dynamic websites using the latest in technology.
We do voiceovers and also radio and TV commercials.
Leading Tone Entertainment is a full-service agency. Come and check us out. Visit us on the web at leadingtoneentertainment.com or give us a call
at 765-413-4280. Again, that number is 765-413-4280. 4280. Have a good one, and we look forward to doing business with you.
Tuesday. We'll sell you the seat, but you'll only need the edge. No, really. Join PCR every Tuesday night at 7 Central Standard Time and 8 Eastern Standard Time on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
All right, we are back. I'm trying to get Crystal on here. If she decides to show up, her and a friend of hers with her, I can't think of a good term. But they jumped in a car this weekend.
Yeah.
And drove to Gettysburg.
No.
Yes, they did.
How jealous am I?
I know. That's one of the places that Chris and I would like to go to.
Heck,
Gettysburg. And and also they have a trip this week. They're all going to Mansfield. So here she is. Let's see what we got. Morning, crazy woman.
Good morning.
How are you today? You know, I say crazy woman, because for someone that does not like to drive, what did you do?
I don't like to drive. See, that's why I took somebody with me to do most of the driving.
Oh.
We drove down to Gettysburg for the day.
So here they are. They're in the corner down here between Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. I mean, you could throw a stone and hit all three states. So that's where they are. And they drove. They got in a car. When was it? Saturday morning?
We had to go north.
Huh?
What did you say? I
said, was it Saturday morning when you did this?
Yes, we were up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So they jump in a car, they decide, okay, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, let's go to Gettysburg. So they jump in a car from Cincinnati, Ohio, and they drive to Gettysburg. And she tells me that they spent 7 hours walking around Gettysburg and then drove home. Now, it's all yours, girl.
8 hour drive there. Long 8 hour drive there.
Yeah, I bet.
We got down. Then we rent a room for $100 in the hotel. We go walk around for 7 hours, go back to the hotel for 30 days, and I decide I'm ready to go home. So we didn't even stay at the $100 hotel that we paid for.
Oh, my God. So what was the best part? What was the best part about Gettysburg? I mean, I have never been there. Chris hadn't been there. Danny, you ever been there? Did we lose her? Oh, I know what's wrong. Hey, Crystal, I'm going to disconnect you and have you call back, would you please?
Okay.
See ya. Danny, are you with me? That was my mistake. So I'm going to have to get him back. But we're going to bring Crystal back on. She and a friend jumped in a car, drove to Gettysburg this weekend for whatever reason. And there you are. Are you back? Crystal?
Yeah, Danny. Yes.
Okay. You talk about Gettysburg. I'm going to try to get Danny back. I kind of screwed that up when you called in. I didn't do it right. Imagine that, huh?
All right.
Huh?
She's in the chat room. She says she's on hold.
Okay. I'm trying to find her. So, hang on. All right. So, I was asking, what was your favorite part about Gettysburg?
Well, really, to me, it was boring. Because the only reason that I wanted to go is because everybody captures these awesome ghostly figures down there, they say. So that was my whole thing of going. I mean, I literally took 700 pictures on the trip. So, but if you're a history buff and you're really into that's awesome. You like history. It's an awesome place. It's got a lot
of
history.
I'm here.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
I was just talking about the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, it's got a lot of ghost stories and stuff. We did go on one of the ghost tours, but again, it was boring because they're telling you the whole history on the house and blah, blah, blah. So, but if you're into that stuff, it's an awesome place to go.
I am super jealous.
She said she took over 700 pictures, Danny.
Oh.
Now, she sent me a couple and wanted me to see what I seen, and she sent them to Greg and stuff, and like I was telling her, you know, I see what she was looking at, and, you know, if you blow it up and you look at it hard, you can say, okay, this could be this right here. She sent it to Greg, and he did the same thing. He said, well, it could be this right here. So, like I was explaining to her, what that tells me is that it's maybe nothing at all because it's not definitive. You know, it could just be something with the camera. I don't know. But there was a couple that were interesting. Did you talk to anyone else, Crystal, about those pictures?
I did. I posted them on Facebook and MySpace and asked what people see or whatever. And I've got some good responses back from,
have
from
you?
Everybody.
Like what?
Yeah, because I the original picture up. And what I did with Greg is I outlined what I seen. And I didn't send that one to you. But I have the original there, and then I have what I see outlined. And, yeah, everybody's saying they see a figure standing there, or they say awesome picture, or definitely see what you see, or haven't had anybody say anything negative about it yet, so.
Did any of them see what I seen?
Greg did until I showed him the outline of what I seen.
So he seen what I seen until you showed him the outline.
That goes to what we and you were talking about yesterday. I mean, once you put it in somebody's mind, they're going to absolutely
right,
see it anyway.
Right, right. I might have to go back and take a look at the ones where you outlined them just to see if that changes what I see.
Right. Yeah, they're on, if anybody's listening, let's go look at myspace.com/crystalofnkyps. They're in the Random Gettysburg album, page 3, the first 3 pictures.
Now, I was asking you, Danny, before I had screwed up the Skype thing here. Have you ever been to Gettysburg?
No. I've been to other places in Pennsylvania, but I've never been to Gettysburg. That's absolutely, before I die, one of the places that I'm going to go.
Yeah, I know we'd like to go as well. So maybe we'll make a field trip someday.
Yeah, I think we need to. I mean, I really, they used to have a convention out there and stuff like that, but as far as I remember, they didn't do it last year, so.
Was that the PRS one?
I can't remember which one that was. I know it was the author that lives out there that does all the Haunted Gettysburg's books. Mm. I know that he was doing that with them, but I think that is all fallen through, so it's kind of brokenhearted to see that. Hopefully there's a couple other groups out there that might start up something else.
Yeah,
it gives me a reason to get out there.
I mean, that would be a good place for it. You know, there's so much stuff there. I'm not sure how far exactly Gettysburg is from Philadelphia, but... You know, if it was relatively close, without looking at a map, I can't tell, and I don't know. There's so many things you could do, huh?
It must be pretty far from Philly, because I've never seen that one Philly sign. I've seen Pittsburgh, and
I mean, because it'd be so much history to be able to go to Philadelphia and to Gettysburg and, you know, have a conference, like, in between or whatever. There definitely would be a lot to do.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a week-long thing.
Mm-hmm.
You go right past Mount... And I
want
to stop there.
Oh, really? Now, see, we want to go there as well. Moundsville.
Yeah, I do.
And Prospect Place.
Yeah.
Right.
And for us, that's kind of like... go ahead.
We also drove past that right in front of, actually, the Cash Town Inn that Ghost Hunter's done.
What was it called again?
You remember that? Cash Town Inn.
Hmm. I may have seen it. I don't recall it.
Yeah, they have all kinds of ghost hunts going on there now. It's real popular since Ghost Hunter's done it. But, yeah, I wanted to stop there, too. But, yeah, and then too much driving time. We were ready to get to where we're going.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Did you catch what you said, Danielle? They got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drove to Gettysburg, which was about 8 hours.
That's a long drive, yeah.
Spent 7 hours there, and then drove back home.
Oh, so this was a weekend excursion?
This was a one-day excursion.
Holy freaking crap. That's nuts.
Well,
I was about 2 hours asleep. We left at 4 a.m. We got there at 12:30. We literally walked around for 7 hours, got back to the hotel room at 8:30, and rolled out at 9.
Wow.
Crazy girl. Crazy. And now this week, you know, to top it off, they went to Gettysburg, and now they're going to Mansfield on Wednesday.
That's a busy schedule.
Yeah, that's a good schedule.
Next Thursday and Saturday, we have an investigation, and then the following Saturday, we have an investigation.
Oh, my God. No wonder you're crazy.
Yeah, I there's no way I could do that.
I couldn't either. I'd be dead. I've got to have a few days recoup myself anymore. But, you know,
Greg is on the Mansfield trip, speaking of. Greg is listening. He's at work, but he can't get into the chat room. The firewall has a block, so he is listening to the show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now, who all is going with you guys to Mansfield? I know it's Greg, who at the time was representing Circle City. But I think he's since moved on. I know Sandman from his group. Who else? Craps is going. Who else is going with you guys?
Us, Midwest Parent Talk, Society of the Dead, Youngstown Ohio Paranormal Society, Craps, Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Wow.
It's going to be 24 of us in that whole big prison, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that will be a lot of fun. Now there's also going to be, I keep seeing Sandman post something about a throwdown at the lockdown. Now what's that got to do with anything?
Greg and Sandman have they're going to do an arm wrestling contest, and it's a dollar to pledge on whoever you think is going to win, which, as Greg says best, there is no losers, because whoever wins or loses, all the money gets betted on is going for Toys for Tots for the kids.
Awesome.
Aw. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's very good. Now, have they already taken donations on that?
Yes.
Have they collected very much, do you know?
I don't really know. I know Greg hasn't got a lot of votes.
What's that?
Greg hasn't got a lot of votes. He stop her to telling everybody they might as well bet on Sandman, because Greg knows about the investigation. So if he gets the drug one too much going to the losing end, he was going to let Sandman take him on down and say, okay, let's go investigate now.
Now, have you ever been to Mansfield?
I have not.
Danny, have you?
I never.
No, not to Mansfield.
So far, that's probably one of my favorite trips that we have made. I really enjoyed it. It was a great time. The only drawback was we went about this time of year, and it was so stinking hot that people were about to die. You spent more time outside than you did investigating, actually, or walking through the place. And, you know, all the things said that it's like 10 degrees cooler inside. Well, I'm here to tell you that that was not the case. It was damn hot in there. But I mean, they do it upright. They provide all the water and soft drinks that you want, and then at 11 o'clock or so, they break out more pizza than you've ever seen in your life. So they take care of you, and they keep you hydrated and everything, so it is a good time.
Hmm.
Well worth the...
I would never before, because I wasn't going to pay $100 to try to investigate something with 80 other people that's just going to run around in that retarded.
Right. Well, but you know what? We went, and there was 88 people. And it cost us $50. One, it was worth the $50 for the historical factor of it. You know, we got to go and see a lot of things that, you know, a lot of people don't get to see. You know, we learned about the shootings of the TV or the movies, Shawshank Redemption, and a couple of the others that they had there. And, you know, you got to take the tour. The tour was like over an hour long, and they told you a lot of stuff when you went from room to room. And then when they did shut the lights out and let everybody free roam, even though there was 88 people there, very seldom did we come across anyone. It's a big place. Now, I think a lot of that, like I said, was a lot of times people spent a lot of time outside, you know, cooling down and that kind of thing. So, you know, maybe there was only 30 people in the building at a time. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited. Plus, we're going to be doing our radio show live from there, so
right.
That's going to be awesome, too.
Right.
Hopefully, we can. I hope we get signal up there.
Now, they're not providing internet, right? You guys are having, you got a card or something?
Yeah, Matt's got the Cricket card.
Okay. Well, you should be fine. And what time are you going to broadcast?
We'll do our regular show time at 9:30. We might maybe come on a little early, because Miami Town comes on now before us, and they're not going to be having their show because they're going to be there with us. So maybe we'll get to get set up early, and depending on how fast we can get set up inside the prison, actually, and maybe get on there and have, because Greg's going to co-host with us, so.
Okay.
And I'd like to get opinions on what's going on. So maybe we'll just go on a little early, and then I guess we're going to give updates after Tom's show as well. So.
Awesome.
I guess if people want to start about 8 o'clock, and they can start listening, seeing then or whatever.
And about what time are you going to come back on?
9:30 will be our show time, and then we're going to get some updates after Tom's show, which goes off at 11, I think.
Yeah, he's over, I think, around midnight or 1, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm never up that late to listen to a show all the way. I make it about 30 minutes, and then I go to bed.
So you guys are going to broadcast after Tom's show, correct?
Yes, updates. I don't know how long we're going to broadcast there, but we will get some updates.
Okay.
After his show.
Well, you need to broadcast till about 3 a.m. so that I can get home and catch a little piece of it. I'm sorry?
I don't know how long. I know most people will be staying the whole night.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure that some of us won't, because I always ride with Matt because I can't see to drive at night. So he'll probably leave about 2. So unless Greg continues,
I see.
Whatever.
So you guys are going to stiff me.
The archive.
I'm done by 2 o'clock anyway.
Well, unfortunately, I'm just getting off of work at 2 o'clock. So,
good grief.
Time I get home, it's usually like get things wrapped up at work and get home. It's pushing 3 o'clock. So,
wow.
But, yeah, it'll be a good trip. I think you guys will enjoy it. You know. Whether you get anything or not, I would guess, I doubt it. But it still will be a great time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It will. Just everybody alone in itself will be a great time.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, Danielle, if you guys ever get the opportunity to go, I think you would enjoy it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome place.
Yeah, I would. Ron wouldn't. He doesn't like to. His knees and ankles
right.
Can't take that. Yeah.
And it is a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's a lot.
It can't be any more walking than I did Saturday, so.
No, probably. That's that's probably very true, but it is
so
a lot of walking.
Where were you at when you got the hits on the photography?
In the military park.
See, not having been there, I'm not sure where that's at, but
Have you pulled those pictures up, Danielle?
No, I haven't yet. I was going to go out as soon as the show was done.
Okay.
I was going to go look at them.
Yeah.
It's the first place that you'll, when you get down to Gettysburg, it's the first area you'll see is the military park right there. So.
And that was in broad daylight?
Yeah.
That was in what?
Broad daylight, where you got the photographs?
Yeah, I didn't get any. I tried to take all of them during the day. Because when we was out there walking at night, it was starting to rain then, and luckily I did take them all during. Then my camera memory was filled up after I got the 700 pictures, so I couldn't take it.
So I want to know, how did you come about? You wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, let's go to Gettysburg. What kind of mind comes up with that kind of thing?
I sent an email to all my groups during the middle of the week last week, and I said, I'm bored, and even though I really don't have no business being bored, we have so much going on, but I just wanted to get away, and I was like, anybody up for a road trip? Well, nobody was up for it, so I was talking to Mike, and he said, I would love to go to Gettysburg. I said, well, that's where I'm going. So Kristen went with me, and I said, we're leaving at 4 o'clock Saturday morning, so we'll be here, and that's what we did. I'm bad with them spur-of-the-moment road trips. I used to get my husband up. We'd be sitting around like 11, 12 o'clock at night because he's got family in Nebraska, and I'd just start packing stuff. Say, come on, let's go. We're going to Nebraska.
Oh, my God.
And that's a 10-hour.
Jeez.
Wow. You know, I would love to do that, but with a four-year-old, it's completely impossible. Yeah. I have to plan every second of the day. You guys would not even believe my schedule. It looks so anal retentive, it's not even funny.
Well, that's correct. Yeah. I think it's crazy, but you know what? Hey, now you can say I've been to Gettysburg. We took some pictures. We did a little, you know, walking around. So, you know, not a lot of people have been to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
I love my gun that I bought there. My gun is awesome.
Huh. And did you put pictures of it up?
I do have one up, yes, I do.
Okay, I'll have to go back and look.
I actually have a couple of them. I'll put a couple of them up that I took in the store before I bought it. I was just debating on it, but then I took one of it after I actually bought it.
All right, cool. I'll look. All the pictures I've seen were those two you sent me, so I'll have to go back and look at the rest of them. I really wasn't on MySpace yesterday, so I didn't see them. Cool.
I also bought some old time, the cast iron gel keys that they used to have back in the day.
The old time what?
The cast iron gel keys.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On the ring, I did buy several of them too. There's three keys on there. I bought them so I could take them to Mansfield, take that, not get any reactions.
I think that's a great idea. Did you catch that, Danny, what she's going to do?
No, I didn't catch it.
She bought some, while she was there in Gettysburg at some store they went to, she bought a set of like the old time, you know, the big ring with the skeleton keys on it, like they use in the old jails.
Uh-huh, like for a trigger object?
Yeah, she's going to take them with them to Mansfield and see if that can trigger anything.
Yeah. You know, I forgot to tell you that, and I forgot to pull them out while we were at the Poor County Museum that day. I had brought a whole bunch of trigger objects, and I didn't pull them out. I brought a deck of cards, and I brought, like, a lady's girder and stuff like that. I never got a chance to pull them out and try and trigger anything, so that's why another reason why I definitely want to go back to the jail.
Yeah. And I think the keys would be a great thing to take.
That would be awesome to try, yeah.
Yeah. Now, are they metal?
Yes, they're cast iron.
Okay. So, kind of like...
Mike's going to also take handcuffs with us, too.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What'd you say?
Mike is going to take his handcuffs with us.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That's right, he's a cop. So, yeah, that'd be interesting to see what happens with that. Most definitely.
Yeah.
I'm all about the trigger objects. I believe that is so much more ethically responsible in research than provoking. So,
and I agree with you 100%. I think, you know, I think it was last week when we talked about that, knowing a little bit about the place and trying to go in with that frame of mind as far as the era or the ethnicity or any of that kind of stuff and trying to trigger it that way versus Tom's way.
Yeah, I'm totally against Tom's way.
Yeah.
I just am. That's just me. But I believe it's unethical. But I believe that trigger objects and things that you're going to actually pull out, being period or not period or whatever, I think that you may, you know, that's why one of the reasons why I use in all of my EVP sessions, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Things that bring out an emotional response is something that's going to be triggered first, not somebody making somebody mad.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. That's not it. If you're going after something that what you're calling is a demon or something like that, or whatever anybody wants to say, fine. I still say that making something mad like that is not going to trigger activity. And who says that you even want the activity that you're going to trigger in the first place?
Absolutely.
By doing that.
Right.
So it's unethical. It's not something that you really wanted to stir up. It's not, there's no point in doing it. Plain and simple. If you want to use trigger objects like what Crystal's doing with those keys and things like that, I think that's brilliant. or like toys with little kid ghosts, or, you know, anything like that. I believe in deck of cards. I believe in pulling out dice. I believe in if you want to use the smell of like baby powder or something like that. Anything like those items, trigger items. I love trigger items.
Yeah, and I tell you, when you go to Mansfield, the one thing that, you know, was a little weird when we were there. Now, they all claim to hear, because I don't hear squat, but they all claim to hear like shuffling feet behind us as we were walking, which would kind of be in line with, you know, you think of jails and they're chained up and they're kind of just like shuffling their feet. But we were in the solitary area, and I went into one of the solitary cells, and I was just sitting there. I was tired, sitting on one of the bunks. By myself, pitch black, couldn't see anything. And Chris and Steve from GIG Paranormal there in Ohio, and a couple other, I can't remember who they were. They were down the aisle a little bit, and they were walking our way. And Chris had the night shot video camera on. She was videoing. And when she got to where I was, the camera shut off, completely shut off. And but when we left that area, the camera was fine. Now, fluke, I always say it could be very much be a fluke, but that's probably the only weird thing we had happen the whole time we were there.
That's what happened to me down in Gettysburg. Actually, you might even seen one of their houses. It's called the Farmington House, I think. It's been on Travel Channel.
I think I've heard of that, yes.
Item in a prison to use. Hello, cigarettes. Don't light it, of course, right. But, you know, cigarettes. And that's you being vengeful of where you're at and what the storyline is or whatever the legend or the folklore is of these hauntings. Get original with trigger items. Don't sit there and provoke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Put a cigarette behind your ear.
Yeah.
You know, or have someone roll a pack up in their shirt sleeve or something, you know, like they did back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what Mike wants to do. Mike wants to take a deck of cards. He says, I guess, even though he's a cop, I guess he's not too smart about the inside of the jails, because he said, and we'll take some money and like play poker. I was like, Mike, don't think they had money inside there.
Yeah.
They played with cigarettes and stuff, so we'll have to take cigarettes.
Yeah.
I would, if I'm going there, I know that I'm going to take, of course, nudie pictures. I'm going to take...
Well, I'm going with you.
I'm going to take, you know, it has nothing to do with me personally, but if I'm thinking like somebody who is in prison back then, what are the things that they're going to want to be attracted to? Hello. Wow. This is very simple.
I never thought about the nudie pictures. I'm going to tell
Chris. I would pin up. Nudie pictures, like Playboy magazine or something like that. I mean, those cigarettes, matches themselves, of course not lit, but just bringing those objects and laying them around, and of course making sure that they're marked. That way, if they are moved or touched in any way, that you know that you can prove and document that they've been moved. You know, of course, with the anything back then that would have been, heck, if you could make a freaking shank and bring that with, I would bring that. Whatever you can think of.
I think I would be careful with that. You know, you just never know.
Yeah, that is still along the lines of provoking and things like
well,
that.
Well, not so much that, but I'm talking about a safety aspect. One is pitch black.
Yeah,
you can,
but if it's just laid out on the ground with video on it, and what I do is the IR camera, so it picks up and even in the pitch black, and nobody's even in the room with the trigger objects. That's my favorite way to do the trigger objects.
Right, but at some point you are in the room with them. Now let's just say, you know, you see stuff on TV. Granted, that's TV, or you hear people talk about this is flew across the room or what have you. What's to say they couldn't make that? If this is true and it's possible, what's to say they couldn't make that shank fly?
What's to say that they couldn't pick up a rock? What's to say they couldn't pick up anything else in that cell room?
No, I agree 100%. Yeah. But why add to it?
I agree. No, I will agree to that point. But along the lines of something that would be in a prison during that era, No, or some kind of trigger object.
Right,
yeah.
I understand. I thought the same thing, but at the same time, I wouldn't agree with that one, I don't think. Just for safety purposes. Different aspects of safety purposes.
But the initial point is just to get creative with wherever you're going. Because if I'm going to prison, those are the things that I'm going to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or I'm going to bring out a whistle, some kind of police whistle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, getting creative on the other side of, you know, not provoking negatively.
Yeah.
But to bring out objects that, you know, what's in that location of what am I trying to bring out?
Yeah, and Kimmy says one of you have to wear a low-cut shirt. and when we go, I'll volunteer to get the nudie picture for you. You know, I got to do my part. of course, there'll probably be a fight between me and Ron. Huh?
Greg said he's going to make a shank and bring it.
Who's bringing the nudie pictures?
Right,
he's
going to bring Playboy magazine, too.
Yeah, see, I mean, those are the things that I would get creative. You know, you definitely want to have the cigarettes because that's currency.
Yep.
You definitely want to have matches because that's also currency. You want to have, you know, I don't know, maybe something like India ink and like a self-made, you know, something to make like a homemade tattoo or something like that out there. I'd get creative and start looking through the ages of what's historically correct in those areas and things like that and bring that.
Now, speaking of tattoos and to get off subject a little bit, did anyone see the article? And I didn't read it. Chris was telling me about it. I don't know if they found a prehistoric man or something and had tattoos.
Oh, I didn't read that.
And they said that then they used ashes as the ink. So apparently somehow they must have cut themselves, put the ashes in and... That was like a tattoo or something. I didn't see that either. That would be interesting, though.
You know, that's one of the techniques that they're actually using in tattoo parlors today is so you can remember your loved one for a memory tattoo of someone who has passed away. You can have your loved one's ashes dipped in the ink for the tattoo.
Really? I hadn't heard of that. Hmm. Of course, I don't have any tattoos, so I wouldn't know.
But I mean, that's how I would get creative. Try and find something from the warden, or you know, document, you know, historical trigger objects from anything during that period or any period during that time that the prison was open. And you know, I definitely, what's going to bring out an emotional response? I'm thinking nudie pictures is going to bring out an emotional response.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think in my head. One of the lures there was what's that?
Type up some release papers.
Oh yeah.
Some what?
Release papers that releases all from
see.
Prison.
Well, you know, there in some of the cells, there's still tons of file cabinets with the actual documents and stuff there.
Yeah.
In some of the cells you can get into. Now, I think one of the lures there, if I remember, wasn't it there that the warden killed his wife in their quarters? She was having an affair, or he was having an affair, or something along those lines?
He supposedly was accidentally shot in front of the warden's
office.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's what they say. But if you dig deeper, it seems like there was something else involved with that.
Yeah, I mean... I would definitely use the word parole in your EVP session at some point. I would, you know, use the word, you know, all these trigger objects. I would also use the words in EVP sessions, things like that. I mean, any kind of trigger as far as that. I mean, I wish more people would jump on the trigger bandwagon than the provoking bandwagon.
Right, right. But what do you see on TV?
The provoking crap.
Exactly. Most of the stuff you see on TV, and that's what groups take and do.
I'm sorry. I just can't. It's so unethical. It's not even funny. And if you want to research this crap, you better do it right.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can. It's like a dead horse has been beaten.
Yeah.
Beaten
Maybe
to death.
One of us will get partially possessed while we're there.
Well, I thought you were already there.
What? I'm fully possessed.
Are you? Are you gonna wear your necklace as a trigger object?
Absolutely. I ain't taking it off since I've got it.
Well, so, okay, you wear your necklace and do what Kimmy says. Go ahead and wear a low-cut top and, you know, hey, maybe you get the touching thing.
Yeah.
Somebody touched me.
Yeah, but how do you prove that? I mean, even if you get touched or something like that, how can you document that?
That's
so hard.
That's what I always say whenever someone says, I'm giving you permission to touch me. Well, it's not going to, it'd be a cool experience, but it's not evidence or proof, so.
Exactly.
Right, right.
That bugs the crap out of me.
But you know what? If that's all I could get, I would take it at this point.
That's because you ain't never had nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Ron's first experience was getting, you know, basically slapped on the top of the head several times during an EVP session. So he thought that, you know, he thought somebody was doing it on purpose. It was pretty funny.
The first thing that came to my mind, the Three Stooges, Curly, yeah. Who had a shaved head like Ron, I could just see Mo up there smacking my head. Tap, 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 tap.
No, as a matter of fact, and the funny thing was, is then when we were down at the Hannah House, and when the lantern was actually moving by itself that one time, that was like Abbott and Costello. And I'm not kidding. He was sitting there completely petrified, you know, pointing at the lantern swinging, and none of us saw the lantern, and he's just ghost white, freaking out, and we're like, what? And finally you hear that! We all look and the lantern is moving. Of course, we're all trying to recreate it and stuff, but it was the funniest thing you ever saw in your whole life. He just, you know, he'll go through and he'll be this big, bad, macho guy, but then when actually something actually happens that we can't explain, he's the biggest crazy cat. It's hilarious.
That's funny. But yeah, I am a paranormal experience virgin.
Yeah.
I need me some.
I need me some. That's so wrong.
I know.
When are you going to do the castle, Mike?
What's that?
When are you going to do Loveland Castle?
You know, I don't know, but I got a terrible feeling it's not going to happen this year. We just got so much happening with the kid and all. And trying to get him situated. You know, we had to cancel a lot of our stuff this year. We're still doing a Dining with Ghosts, but right now that's the only thing I know that we have on tap because we still have a lot to do with him. So kind of a bad year for us in that department, but, you know, we have to get him taken care of first.
Oh, yeah. It's always family first anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we, you know, we had a lot of plans. We had a lot of stuff scheduled this year, but unfortunately, we've not been able to do it. Now, we still want to, I know Fort Wayne has one coming up here very soon, but now I'm going to be working a lot of Saturdays, so that's probably going to be out as well. But we were hopefully going to try to make it up to the Fort Wayne conference this year, if just for a day, you know, drive up there and spend a day and come home. But now I can't guarantee that either because last time we couldn't go to Fort Wayne because Chris had to work. And they are piling on Saturdays for us, so I don't know if I'll make it either.
Yeah, Ron and I are going to definitely be at that one.
Oh, I would love to go. I heard everyone I talked to said it had a great event earlier this year, and I really would like to go, but I'm not sure if we can make it. What's the dates on that? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Oh, no.
Because the only thing I know I'm clear of right now, we are going to be able to make Dining with Ghost. One of our rules is you can only work two Saturdays in a row, and then they have to give you one off. So that Saturday is free. They cannot schedule one for that Saturday. Aside from that, right now, I do not know.
We're definitely going to do Dining with Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Ron and I are doing a lot more stuff than what we normally do this year.
That's cool. Now you guys,
yeah.
And you guys
now that Zach is a little bit bigger, we can leave him with people and not be so freaked out.
Right.
Let's see. We've got the Chicago Pagan Pride thing that I'm going to be doing for up in Chicago. That is on Saturday, September 5th, and that's going to be for 45 minutes. The actual event is going to be going on for 8 hours. Let's see what else we got.
Probably Mid-South. You're going to do Mid-South?
Yes, yes, because that's happening on my birthday weekend.
Right. I can't guarantee, if nothing else, you may have to swing this way and let Chris carpool with you guys, because at this point right now, I do not know if I will be able to make that either.
Okay. All right. The Chicago Ghost Conference is the second and third. Mm-hmm. American Paranormal Conference, which is the one we're talking about, is going to be the 9th, 10th, and 11th of October.
Okay, so the weekend.
So it's happening all 3 days.
Yeah, I will not be there.
We'll be there one of the 3 days.
Because the 9th and the 10th, I have to work, and 11th, I have to have a day to rest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will not be able to make that one either.
Ron, it also has special meaning since Ron's a Mason, so he wants to go out there. And he's already been talking with Rob Stone and things like that since they're all Masons. So.
Well, I mean, we just love going to those things.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah. Good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I know people, and one of the things we talked about was a lot of the conferences, they have the same people talking all the time. We really don't care, because we go to talk to the people that show up.
No matter what circles or what hobby you're involved in, I mean, even if it's like Star Trek or whatever, they're still always the same people that you're going to hear from or that you're going to go see and things like that. There's only so much that you can, you know, get from ghost hunting groups or people who, you know, talk the circuit and things like that. So whatever the lineup, it really doesn't matter. I mean, it's still about walking through the vendor booths, and it's still about going and meeting up with people who are like-minded.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's so much fun to do what you guys did this weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to do more of that, and maybe you guys can make it down sometime, you know? Like I told Bob, you know, who knows that we may have like a massive just meet-up once a month somewhere. And
yeah, that's pretty far unless we're coming down to my mom's
for
something.
Yeah, right. I do know that. And that's the drawback of our group. That's the one downside.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are all up there. So it is difficult for us to come your way. It's difficult for you to come our way.
I want to do stuff in Lafayette. I think that the group is still primed to do something down in Lafayette, down by you guys. And I'd like to do some of the battlefields and stuff like that. I've not had the pleasure of doing some of the things in Chris's backyard and vice versa. Chris has actually been up here and done some of the things in my backyard.
Right.
Some of the things here.
We need to set the battleground up. That would be great.
I would love to do something like that down your way.
Never gave that a thought. Phil could bring his trailer down, and we'll have to see what we can do with that.
Yeah, I'm serious. I definitely want to do that for real.
Yeah, of course.
And that's in your guys' backyard.
Yeah. Two of the main events, if you will, here in town that people used to do, you can no longer do. The Pythian Home, of course. You can't even get on the grounds there. The cops come and run you off. And I know Chris, one time, they did the Lafayette Theater.
Yeah.
Well, now they have restored it, and it's a functioning theater, and I don't think they allow groups to go in and investigate any longer.
I don't think so.
So, you know, that was two places that were pretty good. But, you know, we have Fort Weotnot, and I don't know if we could get in there. It's an open park, but I'm sure we'd still have to have permission. But, you know, every October they have the Feast of the Hunter's Moon.
Oh, I'm going to be down there for the Feast of the Hunter's Moon, too. Oh, God, I hope that doesn't...
Are you coming to the feast?
Yeah, I'm coming to the feast as long as it doesn't screw up any of these events that we've got going on in October.
Well, I believe that it is the last part of September leading into October.
Oh, is it?
I believe. I will get the dates. I didn't know you were planning on coming to that.
I've been to that several times.
I know,
and I really, really like it.
I know Chris would like to go. She hasn't been, and now that we have Dennis, I'm sure he'd get a kick out of it. And dates of that, and I'm not so sure that I might even be able to get discounted tickets through work. I'll have to check on that.
That would be really nice, because I will be honest, that's one of the biggest fallbacks to going, because just the admittance is kind of steep up there anymore.
I'm not sure.
For the feast.
I thought it was just like $10 or... $15.
I think the last time we went with a big group, and I mean, it was like crazy, even for the kids to get in. It was like $7 or something like that.
I'll look into it and see what I can come up with. Absolutely.
And then, I want to say it was like $10 or $15 for the adults to get in. So, I mean, it was pretty steep up there just to get in.
And there you go, Crystal. You get the road trip urge, come on up, we'll hit the feast. You won't have to drive 8 hours. It's only like 2.5.
It says the 42nd annual Feast of the Hunter's Moon will be on October 10th and
11th. Oh, I'm out. And so are you. It is the 10th and 11th. I'll be damned.
Oh!
The Miami Town event.
Oh, that's right. They have. And when is that? That's the 10th and 11th also?
October 10th, yes.
All right, we're going to have to get these groups a little more organized. They're going to have to talk amongst themselves. From this point on, we need all groups to talk amongst themselves. I know they don't like to do that.
I know.
And schedule this a little better so that we can make them all.
Well, now it seems like all these events are popping up. I mean, obviously somebody's got to be making money somewhere. Otherwise, they wouldn't be popping up. Because I know that the reason why our event is free is because you don't make any money doing it.
Right. And I think you're seeing more of that, though. You're seeing more of the free. I think Miami Ghost Towns is a free.
I hope so.
And I know the one in Fort Wayne, it's not astronomical. And they do that, I think, probably to pay for the speakers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I want to do the Battleground in Lafayette, and yeah. I want to bring trigger objects for that.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me, I can bring all kinds of crap, and that would be a lot of fun to me.
I'll get with Chris, or you just need to call her sometime.
I know. And
tell her that you want to do something. We can bring Phil and his clan down.
They would love to do that.
Yeah, do something like that. I mean, I know you guys are 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And but every investigation we've ever went on has been an hour or 2 hours away.
Yeah, it's perfect. And like I said, one of these days, you and Chris are going to have to come up here for the weekend. We've got more than enough room here at the house. And we'll go around and we'll do things like Diana the Dunes and the things up here in my backyard. You know, we'll go over and visit Belle Guinness, you know, the famous female serial killer over in Lafayette. And we'll do a couple of really fun stuff, you know, Stagecoach Road, you know, just all kinds of fun stuff.
And then hopefully next year the economy turns around and we can make another trip back down to Loveland and get Crystal involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take Phil and his clan down to Loveland, get Crystal.
I've got friends of the family and things like that that are really into just historical research. I know that some of them are actually, what is the SCA or something like that. They're society members of whatever that is. And one of them is actually a history professor and stuff like that. So we were telling them about Loveland Castle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just the story behind the guy who built that and just seeing the castle itself, even without the ghosties,
mm-hmm.
is just fun.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, we can get a lot of things working up. For sure.
Now, we're doing another fundraiser event in October ourselves. Not sure of the date yet.
You are?
We're doing it with there's Newport Gangster Tours.
Uh-huh.
They do because Newport was like the Las Vegas of Kentucky back in the day, and all the gangsters and stuff ran that whole place over there. So much history behind it. Well, they do the Newport Gangster Tours, and we teamed up with them, and we're going to do one of their tours that day. Is going to all proceeds go to us, and we're going to do it for us, Crafts and Tri-State Paranormal Society. Hmm. We're going to do a fundraiser for autistic kids.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, I will not be there. That would be cool. That sounds like that would be very interesting, though, to do the gangster thing. I think that would be cool.
Yeah. They've done it for a minute now. And they're also a nonprofit organization, and all the money they make, it goes to, they just came back from South America or somewhere, Africa, one of the places, and they went and bought, all the schools, computers and stuff for the kids, and, that's where all their money goes, is helping other countries with things they don't have to better the education for the kids and the libraries. And
that's cool. Yeah. All right, and when you don't know what the date is for that?
No.
Okay. Just October.
Yes.
All right. Well, when you find it, you let us know. Maybe Greg can work up something and we can play it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're going to get with them this coming week, hopefully, and get a date set so we can start getting that out there.
Now, what's this? Danielle just put some kind of link up. I'm not sure what
for. I put the information for Feast of the Hunter's Moon.
Oh, okay.
Up for everybody since we were talking about it, and okay. If anybody wants to come out, it's right. A really neat activity. Most people don't even know what the Feast of the Hunter's Moon is right. In Tippecanoe County, so people living around the area can go in and see what that is all about, and then I also put the ticket information okay. As far as the prices.
And I recommend that you park at the theater, the, it's one of those out, what do you call it,
Amphitheater.
Amphitheater. I want to say Omni. I knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
You park at the amphitheater and take the shuttle bus in. Don't try to go down and park around the...
You will not find parking.
No, and traffic will be horrendous. So park,
it's awful.
Park at the amphitheater and catch the shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff. You know, it's been kind of boring and dead lately, but I know there is a lot of stuff coming up. And I know it's good that you guys are going to go to some of these. At least we'll have someone that can talk about them because Chris and I are going to miss a lot of them, unfortunately. We should have a lot of good stuff coming up to talk about. I look forward to it.
Yeah, we're actually probably doing more like what I said than we have before. And it just comes down to Zach's finally old enough to where we can leave him with family and it's all good.
Right. The little terror.
Bye. I'll miss you.
You know, before you know it, he'll be old enough. He'll be going with you.
Actually, we're going down to Kentucky for Christmas also. So I was hoping to. My parents live in. My dad and my stepmom live in Elizabethtown. So I was hoping to find some haunted places around that area too.
Dry County.
Let me tell you. Go to the. It's called, I have not got there yet, and I want to go really bad, and it's not but a couple hours from me, but I've never done a cemetery, but it's called Hell's Gate.
Yeah, my dad was going to take me there. Ah. He was telling me about that.
It might be
I've heard a lot of people some good EVPs and stuff out of there.
But in December, do you think it'd be too cold for the ghosties?
Oh, no, that's one of the best times to ghost hunt. You've got, think about it. When you've got, especially when you've got a blanket of snow down, oh, my God, that's the best time for audio.
Really? I would think the crunching of the snow.
If you can be quiet
you gotta
and
stand
if you can
still.
Be still right. With everything damped down by the snow, that is the best time to get EVP. You'll get the clearest EVP. That's when I get the best EVP is when everything is so quiet from a snowfall.
Huh. All right.
Did a day down there close to Elizabethtown, Danielle?
Say that again.
Taylor's Inn and Talbot.
I've only been there like a couple of other times, but it was for like a really quick weekend visit. And we spent most of the time at my parents' house there, and they've only been there for a few years, so I haven't really gotten to explore a whole lot. I know that on the other side of the state, I'm going to totally screw this up. Berea, is it? I can't remember the name of the town, but my husband's best friend lives down there. So we've been out there, probably explored more of that, but none of the ghost stuff. So it was just more of the countryside.
Yeah, go down to Bardstown. It's not far from Elizabethtown. E-Town's like, I guess it's like 45 minutes away, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Bardstown's awesome, especially if you like history. It's kind of like, that's what I've referred to as we've been getting burned. I compared it to Bardstown because everything in Bardstown is haunted.
Is that where the fort's at or something like that? Or
you talking about,
I don't know. I'd have
Fort,
to, yeah, I have
Fort
to
Knox?
Look at the, yes, everything that's down.
Are you talking about Fort Knox?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well, Fort Knox is just south of Elizabethtown.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know much about Kentucky myself, so it's not some big city that I've been to or know about, and I'm dumbfounded. I'm a Cincinnati, Ohio girl.
Yeah.
You know, another place that we need to lay on sometime, and I know Phil's group I think is interested is Whispers Estate.
Yeah, I definitely want to go to Whispers at some point.
I don't even know where that's at, but I know it's here somewhere.
Yeah, that's it's just over the border in Ohio.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's getting awful
it's
close.
It's not
to
very far. It really isn't far.
Huh. All right.
It's about the same from you going up to my place. That's about the same.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in between us, though. I mean,
yeah.
Or even, you know, I know Chris has been to a couple cool places in Crawfordsville. I think there's a jail there, possibly, that they went to. I can't remember what it's called or if it's even still available. And it seems like there was an asylum there, but I don't remember now. Yeah, you guys definitely need to come our way.
Yeah, I that is my plan.
Yeah, Battleground, and Chris knows a lot of places here in town, or
yeah.
You know, within the vicinity that they used to do when she was with the other group. They did a lot
right.
around here, so she could fill you in. You have to give her a call and see if we can ever fit anything in.
Yeah, that's the other problem, is trying to find time to fit all
yeah,
that in.
Right.
Especially with all the other activities. And then I know that Phil's group is getting ready to go somewhere outside of the town. Somewhere. I'm not even sure where they're going. But they're getting ready to do an out-of-towner. So it's always, of course, time.
Yeah. And I told Chris I'd like to do Ashmore Estates again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is over in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
We went with the Night Watchers a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a little too many people, really, for the size of the place. So if we got in there with a smaller group, I think it would be pretty interesting.
Small is better.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So there are lots of places we could do. It's just finding the time and getting everybody coordinated at the same time.
Exactly.
Definitely
yeah, now that
go ahead.
I was going to say that now that all the groups are finally starting to work together
mm-hmm.
instead of being all territorial and say, no, you can't come investigate my prison, or no, you can't come investigate my cemetery.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and with that, you know, there's not to say that we couldn't all get together. You know, what we did this last weekend, we could move that somewhere else occasionally to bring you guys from up north and stuff. You know,
exactly.
Nothing says we couldn't meet up somewhere in Kokomo. It
yep.
would be a little further for the Columbus group to drive, but I take it that they enjoy that anyway.
Yeah, it sounds
so
to me
too. If it was well coordinated, of course, the one we had was kind of a, you know, spur of the moment type thing, which is okay. But if we did plan it a little bit better, you know, say a month out, say, hey, let's all get together at this place and have supper and shoot the breeze.
I think that's the perfect segue into not doing an investigation.
Right.
Doing a simple, fun, let your hair down, go out to a haunted location, good old-fashioned ghost hunt.
Yep.
Where you're going out, you're not pulling out equipment, you're not doing anything else like that, you're just being... carefree and fun and looking for ghosts.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
not expecting to find anything.
Right. Well, you don't even have to do a ghost hunt. I mean, like we did.
Yeah.
We just sat around and talked with ghost groups, just, you know, everyday life.
Yeah.
With, like you said, people that have same interests. So,
yeah.
You know, they got to believe that they would be the same type of person that you are. So you have a lot in common. You know?
Yes. Crazy.
There you go. Yeah. As long as we keep...
Yeah, I'm just not... Nobody shares my life. I have none, so.
Oh, please. You are on the go. For someone that always claims that has not got a life, you are always on the road. So how can you not have a life?
Okay.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
Nothing outside of ghost hunting. I have no life.
Well, who does?
Normal people.
It's all consuming.
Exactly. Doing what you do, you know, you guys are doing the radio show. You're doing all these investigations. You don't have time for an outside life. Your hobby is your life. Is what you
yeah.
chose to do is your life. Which, and I'm assuming that you enjoy it. because you're doing it all the time. So, yeah, that's your life. You do have a life. So you.
Yeah, but then it makes it towards everybody in my group because, like, I expect everybody to put forth effort like I do, and I know they can't, and so it's just aggravating to myself. So.
You got to have a little patience, my dear. Just a little.
I don't know what.
I know. I tell my wife that the same thing all the time, and I might as well talk to this wall here sitting right here beside me. A little patience will go a long way.
Yeah.
It doesn't go very far.
No.
Why? Because she has no patience.
Right.
No, but she's also the type... Chris is also the type of person where if she gets it in her mind that she wants to do something, you're doing it.
Oh, my God. Hard head. Right. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Whether you want to or not, you're doing it.
Oh.
My way or the highway.
Well, actually, it's pretty much as I don't care if you're doing it or not, I'm still going.
Okay. Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. So,
she's going to kill us for that.
I don't care. I've been killed many times.
I was going to say, I'm still fretful.
I ain't
I still have that fear factor.
I'm not afraid of her. She's all bark and no bite.
I still have the fear factor. I'm keeping it.
Well.
I tried to get Mike to get her started on him yesterday. He wasn't all for it. I told him when I sent him pictures, I texted him, I said, ask Chris if she thinks it's Matrix.
No, I did. I asked her, but I didn't get a response. She was doing school work. She didn't care.
Yeah.
Couldn't get a rise out of her. Plus, that's she wasn't feeling well, so she didn't feel like arguing, I guess.
Yeah.
Did my email about Justin Blair?
When did you send it?
This morning.
No, I haven't checked email yet.
He emailed apologizing about last night and wants to reschedule, so I sent him a date.
What did you send him?
October the 4th. Or any day in October.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You got my message about Paul Browning, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then Rick Hayes.
Yes.
Okay, good to go then. We're on the same sheet then, young lady.
I'm on my J-O-B.
I know, I got to get to work, get some banners. You know, I got everybody's banners up and taken care of, and I don't have any.
Yeah.
I need someone to I'm doing everybody else. I need someone to do mine.
Yeah.
No,
that's always it.
I know. What'd you say?
I need another banner.
You need another what?
Banner.
I'm done with you. Oh, Crystal.
For yourself as well, because I don't think that you've made your own yet for Keith Johnson.
No, I haven't.
But see, you can just kill two birds with one stone and make mine while you're at it.
Oh, it's okay for yours to say CPR radio?
No.
Oh. That would be killing two birds with one stone. You want me to do double work.
Hey. Hey, tell me how to do it.
I tried to teach you.
Yeah, well.
All right, ladies. We are approaching the top of the hour, so... I think we've babbled long enough here today with, you know.
Yeah.
We got through. We didn't have anything to talk about. We just made things up as we went along. Mm-hmm. Poked fun at Crystal a little bit, which that's usually pretty easy to do, at least from my perspective. Crazy woman on the road. Fly by night. Let's go to Gettysburg. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, things are picking up. We will have plenty to talk about here in the very near future, I do believe, with everything that's going to be going on and everyone doing that. And Crystal, one day, I don't know what, we'll get together and talk about your experiences and stuff at Mansfield this week. You know, maybe next that's Monday right. You can call in and share a little bit of what you guys had and see what you come across and what you thought of the place. I think you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Yeah, and Danny, we ought to get with Chris and see what kind of arrangements you can make and set things up for us, and we'll have something to talk about.
I agree. We're definitely going to have to do something. We'll plan it out.
There you go. So with that, we want to thank everyone for coming by and listening and probably being bored to death. But so until Wednesday, ladies, any last thoughts?
Nope.
Crystal?
Nada.
All right, have a good trip.
Nope.
And with that, we will say until Wednesday, we will say goodbye and hope you have a great week. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Good Morning Paranormal, powered by the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, you can hang out here with different show hosts from the ASPRN Network for Good Morning Paranormal every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.